Hi, this is Mary James with PassiveHouse Accelerator, and thanks for tuning in to this special bonus episode of the PassiveHouse podcast recorded at the International PassiveHouse Conference in Innsbruck, Austria. Big thank you to Source 2050 for their support of the series. I'm sitting here with Yogini. No, go ahead. I'm just going to let you guys introduce yourselves. Since I just have two microphones.
So. Okay, so I'm Yogini Patel. I'm with the PassiveHouse Trust.
And I'm Sarah Lewis. I'm also with the UK PassiveHouse Trust. I work on the research policy and education.
And I work on campaigns and communications.
Great. I mean, it's really, I was saying that there seems to be more messaging at this conference than in previous conferences about how important communications and marketing is to try and to get people to understand the advantages, as the last speaker was just saying. Can you talk a little bit about what you've been doing?
Yeah, so the conference for me has been really eye-opening. It's really nice to see that making PassiveHouse accessible to the public and, you know, everyday people who aren't necessarily technically involved with PassiveHouse is becoming more apparent and more important. So general awareness raising has always been really key for us at the Trust, but it's always felt like the technical aspects are very important, but translating that to a bigger audience, particularly with all the policy intervention that's happening or on the cusp of happening, it's really, really important now. And education as well, at like a much more, you know, beginner level for universities. And we've seen at the conference, like getting them early and getting it into schools as well. So that's really, really encouraging for me. Trying to just like demystify it completely. And make it, you know, if your kids can understand it, then everybody can understand it. So,
and you mentioned policies that you're working on, so it's a perfect segue to talk a little about what you're doing.
Yeah, so the policy situation at the moment in the UK is very exciting. And one of the things that's really nice of being at the international conference is that you can see that there's exciting policy happening all over the world. And I feel like this is such a good forum for us to come together and learn from each other about the things that work, the ways that we can kind of work the policy so that it can be accepted by people. So we had the presentation today about Massachusetts and the stretch code and the specialized code. And I think that's a really nice way of introducing policy. In Scotland, the government's committed to have a PassiveHouse equivalent for all new homes in Scotland, which is great. But we're working through exactly what that'll be. And I think we will end up with some sort of there'll be some compromises, I think, as that standard is developed to make sure that we can bring everybody along with us. And I think that's what's really critical. We don't want to have something which creates barriers to the delivery of houses. We want to make sure that everybody sees this as a positive thing. And it's about having better housing and a healthier population. And in the UK, we have a national health service. So the idea that if we have healthier buildings, we have a healthier population, and it reduces the burden on our healthcare service, that's really important. And then another kind of key thing, which has come out of all the discussions at the conference multiple times, has been this thing around the capacity of our grids to allow us to do this big decarbonization. We know we need to decarbonize, we need to electrify everything. But it's going to be very challenging because we're going to have this huge new peak load from all these buildings needing energy at the same time. And PassiveHouse does this really nice job of flattening out that demand. So it's really an amazing sort of step up for all the countries looking to decarbonize to an electrified grid for all our buildings. So I think these are discussions which we're having in the UK, and it's always nice to come here and just see, yes, everyone is having these discussions. And you hear these, the way that the people put together their arguments and discussions, and you're like, oh, that's great. We could definitely use those points because we're experiencing the exact same thing. So it's great to be like, we don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. We can learn from each other. And it's such a nice sharing community, PassiveHouse. So yeah, it's always great to be here and have those conversations.
What I really like is even just this morning, we've been hearing about Massachusetts and Vienna and how they implemented things and brought people along. And I think that's what we really need, particularly in Scotland with the big policy pushes, bringing people along rather than fighting against all the arguments that are going to be coming out. And it's empowering people to understand. Yeah, everyone understands they've got really high energy bills at the moment, and they know, you know, things aren't quite right. and it's making them understand that these solutions are available and it doesn't have to be scary. And actually, in Massachusetts, it was really nice because their language that they used was really powerful. They've got like base code, stretch code, get everybody involved at that regional level to be like, yeah, surely we should be doing stretch code. And then the next level up was like, I think
specialized.
Yeah, it's just really clever language.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things in Scotland is that this whole thing only came about because the citizens came together and said that's what they wanted. It wasn't something that the Passive House Trust were like, this is what you should do. It was literally a citizens assembly came together, and that was a cross section of society being educated about buildings and then making their decisions about how we could have a just transition to a more climate responsible country. And that's what they chose. They said 97% of the committee were like, we should have Passive House for our new buildings.
And to me, that's so amazingly wonderful, because in the US, as I'm sure you know, it's so polarized between the people who have their heads in the sands and don't want to admit that climate change is happening.
It's the same everywhere, isn't it? It's the same in the UK. It is the same.
I mean, one of the things that was nice, though, about this particular policy proposal by Scottish government was that it received complete cross-party support. So it's not seen as a political party issue. So there's not like one party supporting it and another party saying that it's wrong. And then you get all that polarization. They're really trying hard to make sure that this is seen as a cross-party idea and that no one party is owning it. It's everybody is agreeing that we should do it.
But how did you convince 97% of the citizens' assembly that Passive House was a good idea? Because I just can't see that anything similar happening.
I feel like they were the citizens. I was not in the citizens' assembly. I imagine everyone was like, well, this is a no-brainer. We could have warmer homes. We could have healthier homes, healthier families,
lower bills.
Like, what's not to like about it? If you put the two standards together, the base code that we have in the UK, and then you tell them what they could have with a Passive House building, very few people would choose the substandard building that leaks a lot of energy and is poorly constructed by comparison.
I feel like it's, as a homeowner or as an occupier, you definitely want it.
Yeah.
It's the delivery of it that we need to worry about.
Yeah. And we've got in Scotland, I think it's about a third of our housing is social housing. So that's owned by housing associations or the government, and it's for people on lower incomes. And already a lot of the new social housing is built to a higher standard anyway, because they want to do the socially right thing, which is to provide homes which are affordable to live in and healthy to live in. So where we see large developments of passive houses, those are usually for social housing. So we already have a big sector of people who are pushing the agenda for better buildings. And that's kind of the contrast of that is the big developer companies who aren't involved in the end use of those buildings. And their remit really is to provide volume house building because we need more homes. So that's their remit. And then they sell it for a profit for their shareholders. And that's their drivers. So they will not do more than the requirement because it's not within their kind of business model. So that's why we need legislation. So we can't just say, oh, well, Passive House is a good idea, so eventually everyone's going to do it. That's not how, unfortunately, the world works. So we really need the legislation to drive the change.
But also legislation helps move it and accelerate it so much faster. You've got so much more power because base rate is base rate, right? You have to deliver. It's just
compliance.
Right.
I mean, even just the idea that they're going to introduce some sort of Passive House equivalent has really accelerated the conversations that we're having with the technical standards team at Scottish Government in the building standards, who will be the sort of delivery of this new standard, or our discussions with the politicians, our discussions with the house builders who weren't particularly reaching out to us beforehand, but now we have genuine productive dialogue with them. And I think that's, we all learn as well, so we can understand what the challenges are from their side. And understanding their challenges has changed our position slightly as well. So we're all learning and we're saying, okay, maybe we need a bit of a longer transition to this. But I think everybody agrees that knowing what the endpoint is really important, because it allows for the industry transition. If you don't commit to something, nobody's going to commit to the training, and then you don't have the transition within the construction sector to ramp up, to skill up, to tool up, to be able to deliver. So we really need the legislators to hold strong and go as close as possible to full passive house.
Yeah, because then eventually it will become viable. That yes. just won't be a question.
Right, exactly. And on that happy note, thank you both so much for chatting with me. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having us on.